This is Find a Way. I'm Colin Whitlock, and my guest today is Darby Delane. Darby is one of my all-time favorite people. She's one of the reasons why this podcast exists. She's a brilliant teacher, a loving mom, an artist, a musician, a gardener, a community leader. There's just no way to quantify how much I have learned from Darby. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as we did. Thanks for being here.
But if you want to be facing me, yeah, okay. You can always like scooch over to it or something.
How's this?
I think that's great.
Okay.
I think it's really good.
I'm glad we're not being filmed.
Right.
Yet.
I don't know. It could help.
I think we'd look great on video too.
Of course. We're very photogenic.
We're gorgeous. I went to the doctor today. Oh, how you been?
No, you went to the doctor today.
I went to the doctor today, and it was a good thing.
How'd it go?
It went very well. I've lost weight since last year, and my blood work is looking good, and stuff like that.
How are you feeling?
Really, really, really better than a year ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about a year ago.
Oh, God. A year ago, I was in a hormonal wasteland. It's called menopause. All right, Colin, it's called menopause. And I couldn't think. I thought I was having like dementia and stuff. And I couldn't move. I was like no energy, nothing. And I went to the hormone doctor and they were like, girl, you ain't got nothing in there. How are you even getting up in the morning?
So, which must have been kind of nice to hear and also alarming, right?
It was a huge relief.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, thank you. Cause I thought I was going nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that with the autism diagnosis and ADHD just kind of created a picture of no wonder I'm having a little bit of a rough time here and didn't know it all these years. And so today was kind of a year later and I'm sailing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I see it.
You can tell.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what she said. She's like, you're glowing.
You are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
Even,
you.
Actually, I had a moment when you were walking up through the parking lot and I was standing there with April and I looked and I was like, man, she's like kicking ass right now.
I am.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how much the body, I just didn't appreciate how much the body is important and you're, you know, being happy.
Yeah.
And when you ignore it for decades and pretend it isn't there like I did, it catches up with you eventually.
There's so many things too. You know, it's like there's so many things, like you were saying, one of the main things that's been on my mind since I was, I don't know, 10 is like my weight.
Me too.
And just that one thing alone is so hard to conquer, to like eat right and exercise and get good sleep and do all that stuff. And then like you start adding on all this other stuff, like your hormonal health, which seems like super out of your control.
Right.
And then add on to that, like your mental health, your social health, your, you know, like it's a juggling act.
It's too much, Colin.
Do you think anybody has it easy? Is there anyone out there who is just like, who, let me preface this the correct way though. Is there anyone out there who it like is awake, you know, is present and also just sailing? Like my health is good. You know, I eat right cause it's fun. Exercise cause it's fun. I have a great work-life balance. My hormones are in check, you know, like.
Whoever they are, I hate their guts.
Yeah, okay.
They can go burn in hell. Yes. Right? I think there are a few. I've got a cough.
Go for it.
That's my 16-month sinus nasal drip.
Yeah.
That's nonstop. I think there are people that have been raised to embrace their bodies as an asset rather than something that's in the way. And depending on how much trauma and stress they've had in their life, and, you know, there's a connection between stress, trauma, and inflammation in the body, which is where so much illness comes from. It's like the new thing people look at now is your inflammation levels. And yeah, but so many of us did not grow up, you know, that way, especially in our culture. It's just, I think it's hard to be healthy in our, you know, world that we live in this first, what do you call our world? Our first, what are we, the United States?
Right, first world, or late stage capitalism,
that's what it's, I mean, just the assumptions behind living in a culture like that are toxic.
Yeah.
So, and then when you're, you know, under so much duress, like our country is now, politically, economically,
emotionally,
spiritually.
Yeah.
I think it's more and more of a challenge to be friends with your body and want to learn about it and take care of it. But yeah, that's okay. You know, I'm learning, and I'm like the worst student ever when it comes to care for the body. But a lot of it had to come from letting go of those kind of narratives I grew up with in the 70s and 80s and 90s about calories and fat grams. That used to be the way we would think. And, you know, heart rate, 180 beats per minute while you're doing cardio. Right. Just this oppressive, punishing, almost unattainable set of standards to be quote unquote fit. And it killed me. I just was like, fuck it. I can't. I tried. I did it for a couple of decades, but I just couldn't sustain it. It was too mean. You know, I was really mean to myself.
Yeah. It's funny, just a second ago, you talked about your body, you talked about being like a bad friend to your body, or not having the ability to be a friend to your body.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's such an interesting way to look at all of our connections that we've got out there. Like how, just thinking in terms of friends, like there are friends who kind of like take up all your energy and expect you to pay attention to them all the time, to always like throw everything aside for them. And then there are the friends who, like, when you hang out with them, you're like, God, I feel so refreshed. I feel so like, and you know, they've got good like boundaries, or they don't have like these expectations of you. And it feels like all the things that we were listing before, our economic problems, our social problems, political problems, you know, our work-life balance stuff, they're all like these bad friends who want all of our attention and like want all of our energy. Mm-hmm. And like our body is like that good friend that's like hanging out with my body and being good to it. Like, let's go for a walk. Let's go rowing, you know, let's go in the lake, or let's go for a swim, or whatever it is. Let's eat some really good food together. Let's have some quiet time. Let's just sit and not talk and not do anything for a while. And when you're done, you're like, I have so much more energy to do other things. Thanks, friend. Thanks, bud.
I think you're one of the first people to actually, I mean, I'm sure people in my life have said things like that, but you're the first person, you and Tanya, I would say, are the first people that say things in a way just like that, that actually gets in to all, past all of the resistance that I have. And I hear that. And you said that to me a couple of years ago about, not like you just did now, but the body as that healthy, patient, loving friend that takes all the hits for you while you're out there with your big old ego and doing all kinds of things that make your body just under duress. And you don't notice it because it's not one of the blood-sucking vampire kinds of energies that are demanding your attention all the time. And then wearing you, you know, totally depleting you.
Right.
And that's why I didn't notice my body for forever.
Yeah.
Because it's kind and quiet. It doesn't yell at me, you know? And, you know, thank God I haven't had some kind of horrible disease, which is to me a form of yelling, like, hey, you need to pay attention to me.
Right, you just read my mind. I was just starting to think, like, yeah, there must be people out there who have bodies that do yell. And and I'm thinking about so many people I know with chronic pain and, like, or just, you know, like, you know, that maybe it's not physical pain, maybe it's like emotional pain that just is ringing in their ears all the time. And so then, you know, they don't get to have that good friendship, you know?
Exactly. Well, not to get all weird, but I was just with my wonderful weird practitioner and we were talking about inflammation, and inflammation is a way your body yells.
Yeah.
Like my 16 month sinus, nonstop sinus drip.
Yeah.
is my upper respiratory system saying, hey, please pay attention to me.
Right.
You know, I'm yelling at this point. I mean, you know, and now it's got my attention. Now I'm like, hey, this really sucks.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, and it's great that you're listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to kind of bring us back to where you started us, it's great that, like, sure, you've got this lasting drip, you know, this thing, but you're doing so well with so many other things. You just had, like, a, you know, wonderful report.
Mm-hmm.
What a better place to be to deal with a problem.
Well, I couldn't deal with it before.
Right.
I didn't even pay attention to it.
Right.
It was not even in my visual landscape.
Yeah.
If I don't know what the metaphor is, but it was not registering. You know, I've had allergies and asthma all my life. It's just normal. It's like not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's awesome that I'm uncomfortable now. It's a sign. It's a sign that this isn't the physical state I want to be in. And that's new. That is definitely new.
That's also a really great reframing of discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm getting my sign.
Yep.
And just to recognize, like, it's the same thing I think about with, I was having this conversation with Audrey last night where, we were talking about some of my friendships from childhood, and from my perspective, and it's probably not the perspective of the people I was friends with, but from my perspective, I feel as though I never stood up for myself. I feel as though I let people kind of treat me not very nice sometimes. And when, as I got older and I started, you know, I would repeat patterns and become friends with similar people as I got older. And eventually I'd start sticking up for myself, and then the friendship would end, you know, because I was sticking up for myself. And every once in a while I would become friends with somebody who didn't do that, who was nice. And
did,
like,
did they hold your attention?
And they held my attention.
That's good. That's
of course.
Good.
Yeah. They're lovely people who just, stood out to me. It's like, oh, it doesn't have to be like that. And then, as I've gotten older now, like, I do find myself sticking up for myself more, sometimes maybe too soon or maybe too much. So here I am, like, sort of evaluating that here. And I'm kind of saying, like, oh, you know, maybe I should do this or that. And we realize, like, yeah, but it's good because I'm, this is a great signal. Like, now I'm sticking up for myself too much. Now I'm, you know, like, what a great place to be in as opposed to where I was before.
Absolutely.
Where I felt like, oh, I better not. They might not like me. Sure. What if I disrupt the nice sort of foundation that we've got here?
Right. You know? Right. Yeah, and you can always, once you practice, you know, sticking up for yourself. I'm going through that same process, by the way, with people close to me.
Right.
And I'm not good at it. I'm clumsy. I'm loud. I'm, you know, the bull in the china shop. But once I get a little more finesse and with mindfulness and learning how to put a little more space between my thoughts and emotions, and I'll be able to finesse a little better.
Sure.
You know, and we'll get there.
Yeah.
But I was the same, Colin.
Yeah.
I was that kid too.
Yeah.
I was exactly that kid. That's probably a lot of why you and I really feel like, you know, brother from another mother.
Yeah.
What's the...
Sister from another mister.
There it is. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, that's been one of the nicest things about our friendship is like this slow burn realization between us of how mm-hmm. similar we are. I mean, right from the start, I can speak for myself, but I feel like I can speak for both of us. Like right from the start, I was like, I like this person.
Yeah, me
person.
Too.
This
I
is a cool
person. Immediately like, I want to know that person.
We, just for the sake of anyone who might be listening, we met teaching together. Mm-hmm. And Darby is, and also was this like rock star teacher who could connect with any kid and even could connect with the teachers that sometimes I just wanted to put on a rocket ship and send to Mars. and yeah, that was when I knew I was like, not just I like this person, but like I can learn so much from this person. You're doing so much more good than I do with my like, I don't like this person, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah, but you were immersed in teaching. I had walked off the street from a different job and I was in absolute la la land. I was just like, it was like the honeymoon period. If we had stayed teaching together for another 10, 15 years, I would have, like anyone, would have gotten jaded and, you know, not so great.
It's, you know, that's really, you know, I'll believe you because you know yourself very well, but it's almost impossible for me to imagine you getting jaded. I can see you getting frustrated and yeah. I can see you, you know, negative stuff like that, especially in the teaching profession, can wear us down so badly, especially yeah. people like you and me. But I don't see you going down the negative path the way that most do.
What about the conditions? But what about, like, I have to say, part of this process of, for me aging, you know, like I'm 58 this year, and part of that process is learning about my limitations in a way that I was never ready to do before.
Right.
One thing I know for sure... That I would, well, first of all, if I had a job in public education right now in the state of Florida, I would be fired in 24 hours. I mean, it would be not, I wouldn't be able to have a job.
You'd be eligible to be fired, but I think that they would find ways to keep you. Most.
I don't know. I don't know if I could rein in my
right.
self.
Well, and it's very different now because we've been so separated from it for mm-hmm. so long. Mm-hmm. You've been gone for... How long from the public school system?
Since 2018.
2018. So same for me. We left at the same time.
We did.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. While you were still at that one
school. I guess it was 2019 for me. I'm sorry. Yeah.
And I continued to other middle schools
right.
last year on a volunteer capacity as I was kind of phasing out.
Yeah.
And doing work that was not politically acceptable by our current administration. So I was like, I don't know how I can be a teacher in the state of Florida anymore under the current, the current situation. So that being said, no, I understand what you're saying about you don't think I would burn out or get jaded, but that's given our old you know, fantasy. Well,
I can see you burning out.
Yeah.
I can see the burnout.
Yeah.
I just don't, it's hard for me to see you, like, for an extreme example, like, it's hard for me to see you taking it out on the kids.
That's true.
Or checking out from your passion. You know, like, you would still engage with the kids.
You're right.
And probably a lot of the teachers, certain teachers, you know, you would probably extend yourself too far.
Yeah.
To be honest, you know, that's kind of what you were doing leading up to you quitting anyways, was extending yourself too far.
Right. That's what part of the big slow motion burnout I was going through that led to the, you know, the hormone thing and then the autism diagnosis and all those things. I had no idea what was going on, but you're right. Kids, I will never burn out on children.
Nope.
That's the truth. That's, you're absolutely right.
You have incredible, what's the word I'm looking for? You have incredible stores of patience. What's the word? Reserves. There we go. You've got incredible reserves of patience for kids, which is funny. I understand why people get so frustrated with kids, but it is,
they're pains in the butt.
And that's like the way they're built.
That's why I love them.
Right. They literally cannot be anything else. Yeah. They're exactly.
That's why I have reserves, because I just dig them so much, especially early adolescent kids. I just love their obnoxiousness. And I don't know why, it just jazzes me. It's like, I'm so jealous of kids who can, you know, talk back to a teacher. I was never able.
Me too.
I'm like, wow, that's my hero. I wouldn't tell him that, of course, but
I want to tell him.
I'm like, dude, you just gave, that just made my week.
Yeah.
You know, I want that. I want that.
I remember there's a kid who's obviously going to remain nameless, whose mom was a teacher in the district as well. And he was just a famous troublemaker, always making trouble, which is not surprising. That's like a trope in itself. But he had a thing on like school picture day. He would always try to figure out a way to do something crazy in his picture. And you know, the school would get upset, and then his mom would get embarrassed because they would call her up and say, what the heck is the matter with your kid? And his last year at the school where I worked, it was school picture day, and like everybody was on him from the start. They were like, you're not, you know, and they were looking at him. They were checking him out head to toe. He had like a button up shirt and a tie and a nice pants on. I mean, he was decked out, and they're like, you're not going to do anything, you know, like checking his bag to make sure he didn't have anything in his bag, and nothing. And he was fine. And the other thing is that he was very quiet, which was odd for him. Very quiet though. But he just went along with everything, didn't say anything, and then it came time for him to sit down for his picture.
What did he
and
do?
They go, smile, and he smiled, and he had dyed his mouth blue. And his teeth were all blue, and his lips were all blue, and it was like coming out. And that's the funniest thing is like,
that is so healthy and creative.
And they got angry at him for it.
He's going to be like the most successful person ever.
Right. He could be president. I mean, exactly. Actually, I would totally vote for that. But like, the thing that struck me and the thing that made me feel so distant from my other team mates, my colleagues, it's like they were upset at him. And I was like, why are you upset at him? He just...
It's brilliant.
Okay, number one, is he displaying problem-solving skills?
Yes.
Check. Is he being creative? Check. Is he, like, going along with pretty much everything that you're saying? Check. Like, he's innovative. He's thinking ahead. He's doing homework.
That's right.
He's, I mean, this kid is displaying all the signs of a successful student.
He's gonna make it.
Is he doing your boring ass worksheet? Mm-hmm. No. Oh, so he has priority control. Great. You know, I mean, it's like, that was what made it so difficult to like toe the line in that profession was like, okay, so you want me to be angry at the kid who did that. Mm-hmm. But you want me to praise the kid who's like got like these lifeless eyes and like knows where all the commas goes.
Exactly.
You know, What? Exactly. I don't know. It's just...
Yeah, I want to meet this child. I wonder how old he is now.
He's raising hell somewhere, I'm sure.
I mean, that is really, really a brilliant person. That is not easy to pull off.
Tons of self-control. I mean, he had to go like 2 class periods not saying a word.
Wow.
You know?
Keeping his mouth
closed. Shut.
Yeah.
Just wow. Shut.
That's amazing.
I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he dyed his mouth. You know,
might have just been the dye you put in Easter egg stuff.
Probably. Something like that. I don't know.
I love it. I just love that. That story will stick with me forever. That's a good one. I've not heard you tell me that before.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Man, if all of our kids could walk that line of being able to do at least the minimal amount of work.
Yeah.
And still keep who they are. That's the America I want to live in.
Well, and I think that I honestly think that that would make all the things that, you know, I don't care what side you're on, all the things that people say they want from American citizens, like they want innovation, they want creativity, they want, like, you know, caring for other people, they want all these things. People who go through school and just do everything the teacher says and never question anything like that, those aren't going, I mean, some of them might, but those, they're not setting themselves up to be those kinds of citizens. And so either when these, you know, political talking heads say this stuff, like, this is what we want, they're either lying or they have no clue how to create that world that they're talking about. And it's obvious because it's not happening. But I think, like, it's funny. As we're talking about this, it connects so well to, like, this whole concept of the podcast, which is like this finding a way, mm-hmm. right? Like a kid like the one I just talked about is bored, you know, and he's,
as he should be.
Yeah. And he's in a school system that is, like, lost almost all its momentum mm-hmm. for innovation and creativity.
Yep.
And so is he doing something violent? No. Is he hurting anyone? Is he hurting someone's feelings or anything? No. But he is finding a way to enjoy himself. Mm-hmm. Right. And that, I think that should become, like, in as many aspects of our lives, we should be trying to find a way to enjoy ourselves within the boundaries that we find ourselves, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The school systems, the public school system, I don't, maybe all of it at this point, if you have any of who you are left after you get out K-12 education, it's a rare thing. And how can we be okay with that?
Right.
How can we be okay with that? And like you said, okay, let's just be capitalists and say, all right, we want the school system to produce innovation and out-of-the-box thinking so that we can rule the world with the next, you know, profit-producing, you know, whatever. Help me with the words.
Products, like, you know, enterprises.
Because that's what business owners mean by innovation.
Right.
Is how is it
profit
making money, right?
Which means that they, like, as a side note, they don't innovate.
Yeah.
Because they want to make money. So they say, like, this is the thing that makes money. Let's do that.
Yeah.
And just copy it. And then we'll run this business out of business.
Exactly.
And we'll take over. Yeah. You know, that's not innovation. That's piracy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But that we can't do that under the conditions our public schools are in. We're not producing those kinds of thinkers.
Right.
We're not. And I, you know, you and I could talk about public education till the cows come home, mm-hmm. but that's one feature of this dismantling of public education that's happened over the last 40 years or so that has been so scary to me.
Yeah.
Is, you know. Anyway, I'm not surprised we're where we are right now.
Right.
Maybe. I mean, we have no leadership. There's nobody's in charge. There's no leadership. I don't even see our political parties nurturing the next generation of leadership. There's no mentoring going on.
Right.
You know, it's very, what we're seeing is exactly what we put in.
Right.
The outcome is exactly where we should be since we've abandoned public education. This is where we are.
Yeah. And I think it feels too big to solve, you know, it feels, orchestrated almost, even though I don't necessarily think there is orchestration or organization behind it. There's versions of it, but, I heard a wonderful perspective from an interview with George Carlin. And he's on a talk show with a bunch of conservatives around him.
Oh
and,
my God.
And he's talking about I might not get this exactly right, but he's basically talking about the negatives of a capitalistic system and our system in general. And these conservatives, talking heads around him are laughing at him, and they're saying, like, do you really think that there's some conspiracy out there and all these businesses are getting together and planning some sort of, you know, attack on freedom and things like that? And George Carlin he doesn't take their bait of, like, you know, they're laughing at him and anything like that. He just very calmly responds, and he says, like, you don't need a conspiracy when you all have the same desired outcome. If everybody's mind is just focused on how much money can I make, you're all going to end up making the same decisions. You're all going to screw the same people. You're all going to, like, violate any sort of honor that you've got or morals or anything because you have the same goal. So, like, you know, the runners that's what he said, but it makes sense. Like, if you start a race, the runners in the race don't have to get together first and say, like, okay, we're all going to go this direction to the finish line. There's a big fucking finish line at the end, and it's got a big sign on it. Everybody's running to it. So, like, what are you going to do to get there? You're going to run as fast as you can. Oh my gosh, it's a conspiracy. They must have all gotten together and planned how to get there the fastest. And it's like, oh, isn't that, you know?
I love that analogy. Or is it a metaphor?
It's both.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's both. Yeah.
But I love that. And he's so right.
Yeah.
He's so right. That is such a good point. Although I do believe that there are.
Oh, sure. There's versions of it.
There's definitely some intentional planning going on. And, you know, the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 being one of them.
Sure.
But he's right. You really don't need to be that fancy.
Right.
As long as you're all wanting the same doggone thing, then your everyday behavior is going to produce the same results.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, calling it a conspiracy is giving them way too much credit.
True.
You know, I mean, it's even that, like, that Heritage 2025, that list, like, that's not news.
No. It isn't.
It's been what they've, you know, it's stuff that's been going on this whole time. It's like, well, let's put it on the list, and then it looks like we're all together, you know? And it's, I mean, I could be wrong on that. But
we'll talk more about that at some point because I want to learn more about it myself.
Sure. Yeah. But regardless, like, when it comes to the school system, their goals don't have to be planned out. Their goal is, like, I don't want to keep giving money to this thing. And I'm going to keep on making unreasonable demands, you know,
until they cripple all of the schools and the teachers and until they all fall to their knees, which is exactly what has happened.
Right. And they want to be in control of everything and they don't want to admit that they can't control it.
That's right.
And that's actually, like, that's a legitimate issue to face with any, maybe we won't say any system, but an educational system. Teaching is inherently requiring you to let go control.
Correct.
You cannot teach one class and then go to the next and say, I'm going to get the same results.
Nope.
There is no, like, algorithm to it. It's impossible. And that is like not an equation that a government likes jumping onto.
Nope.
They want to say like, where's your flow chart? Where's the, you know, right. And it just, there isn't one, you know, especially with teaching. I get it. You know, there's other stuff where you can do a step by, if you're building a house,
yes.
Oh, we start with a foundation and we do this, yes. Blah, blah, blah. And we have these measurements and these angles that's and everything right. like that. But like, that works for one house. And then there's different houses with different foundations and yeah. different angles. But what the education system is saying is like, build the same house every time with the same, with different materials,
yes.
you know? And like these,
if only it were that easy to
yeah.
teach.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh yeah.
But all these kids, yeah. they don't need, like, I think this like brings us to another main thing that you and I agree on. And actually I agree with you on it because you're the one who like really helped me see it, is that like, the educational system, it would be great to be able to teach all these technical things, like, you know, the STEM stuff,
yeah.
all that. I think it's wonderful.
Love it.
But not before we teach emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
If our school system just took a step back mm-hmm. from all of that stuff, stopped cramming math and science down first graders'
right.
throats, and instead just had a system where it was like, let's learn about your mind. Mm-hmm. Let's learn about your emotions. Let's
your
learn
body.
About your body.
Mm-hmm.
Let's learn about feelings.
Yes.
Let's like, you know, any
yeah.
of that stuff.
But that can't happen because you're inviting the souls of these children into the equation. And that's what, you know, when we commodified education and just made it into a transaction, you know, when the powers that be did that to public education and just said, we want you to produce this many people to go into the STEM areas. And we trained our students to just see education as this, I pay you, you teach me, I spit out the test results,
right.
and you give me the diploma, and that's my ticket to the job.
Right.
It became that. And it's too threatening for the powers that be to allow students to actually include their soul mm. and who they are into the equation. Because like you said, you can't quantify it. You can't measure that. You can't assess that. You can assess that, but you have to trust teachers, and that's not going to happen.
Right.
And so, you know, that's just too threatening.
Yeah.
They can't handle it.
Yeah.
And we're talking about teaching kids how to frickin' meditate.
Yeah.
That's too scary. You know, oh my God.
That is such a strange resistance that you get from, we get it from the government, but also you see it from parents. I notice it sometimes.
Well, they're scared, Colin.
Yeah.
They want, oh my God. I remember being on that hamster wheel with my child.
Yeah.
Through third grade was the first time in Florida where he got the high stakes test, and at that time I think it was the FCAT still, I'm not sure, but I remember the fear that I was absorbing from the school system of, okay, you gotta make sure your kid gets into the magnet program,
right.
and that he's in the gifted program, and they train parents early on to fear, you know, not to, they train you to fear anything but being tracked into the upper, you know, advanced tracks of the school system, the privileged route out of public education into college. And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It is a mind fuck. A mind fuck. No wonder my kid couldn't, he got all the A's, he did great on the tests, but as an autistic human being, it was crippling. He felt it too.
And he's brilliant and a great, I mean, he helped me learn so much about the problem with our school system as well. Just seeing somebody as brilliant as he is.
Case in
like,
point.
He's not making it in
uh-uh.
this system. And they're telling him there's something wrong with him.
Exactly.
You know, and it's, there's, if you're going to say that, there's something wrong with all of us,
yes.
you know, and it's just different things.
Yes.
And what they're basically saying is the thing that's wrong with you, I don't know how to solve. So there's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
You know? which is
and that, in fact, we do know how to quote unquote solve it. Actually, I don't want to use that word, but
sure,
we work know with it. We know how to work with it. We know how to manage it. We have beautiful examples of inclusive classrooms where even kids who have IEPs are scoring high on tests.
Yeah.
We have a school here in town that was known for that.
Yeah.
And well, it's not now, but it was before the changing of the guard.
Yeah.
But yeah, and we do know how to do it, and when you do it, teachers are happy,
yeah.
Kids are happy, parents are happy, test scores are high, so the government's happy. It can be done.
It's just a risk.
It's a risk.
It's so weird. It's like it's so wild to see a system where there's a track that is an approved track that is almost guaranteed to fail, but it's approved.
Yeah.
And so if you do it and you fail, you're like, well, I did what you said. So mm-hmm. You can't fire me, right? Because, and then there's this other track that's not approved and it's harder. I mean, it is harder to do, but it works. But nobody wants to do it. No. Or, I mean, I don't want to say nobody wants to do it. It's a bigger risk to do it. But, like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. I mean, what do we have to lose at this point?
Well, that may be part of the good news. You know, we have Florida public education has been successfully dismantled. And, you know, I'm sure we have more bottoming out to do.
Sure. Yeah. Skidding a little bit.
At some point, our citizens are going to, I hope, maybe wake up and say, oh, gee, you know, we've got all these kids that aren't going to school. They're just walking around on the side of the road, not being supervised. And we're not getting, people aren't going to college. Do you know boys are not going to college?
No.
Boys are, there is a crisis right now of our boys, our Gen Z boys that are, you know, my son's age through 24-ish, 25. They're not going to college.
I almost feel like that's a step in the right direction.
It could be.
Because
It could be, Colin.
At the risk of speaking, you know, sacrilege.
Yeah.
In Gainesville.
We will do lots of that.
Yeah. It's just, but I mean, it more and more has been revealed to not be what it's cracked up to be. I mean, these colleges saying like, yeah, pay us all this money and we'll guarantee a job after.
That's right.
It's just not there. It's just not happening.
And it's not education anyway.
Right.
Education is not a product or a commodity. It is a place to become human.
Right.
Okay, I understand that not everybody has that aim for education, but I mean, it's a conversation we need to have in this country. What is the purpose for education? We don't all agree on what it is.
Right.
And depending on who's in control, they determine and put on the teachers and kids what is expected.
Right.
And any time you put money in there with helping people become more sensitive, more literate, more more comprehensive human beings, you cannot put a price tag on that.
No.
And you can't, and a test score sure as hell isn't going to give you any indication of that.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was, I lost my train of thought. ADHD. I call ADHD.
Tap. Point.
Thank you.
No, I mean, I think, you know, I do think that we've made our point to an extent. I mean, like you said, we're going to...
Forever. We're going to talk about this forever.
Yeah, we'll, you know. But I do think that this... None of this is off topic to where we started.
Not at all.
You started off talking about, like, this success that you've had.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is all... What we just discussed is the mire that we've been in, the swampy gunk that we slowly started emerging from years ago. And yeah, it's been really beneficial. We both have like discovered so much about ourselves and like discovered more about our friendship. Yeah. And, this kind of stuff, like you and me sitting here, the reason why we're recording this is because we've had so many of these conversations that mean so much. It just, I found myself longing to be able to go back and listen and to like just remember some of these moments together more clearly. It's not like I need to know every word. I still have memories of the feeling.
I got it all in my body.
Totally.
But it's going to be lovely to listen to the words on this one. And because it's also going to, it's a kind of form of analyzing data, because then you hear it again and you're going to even make more connections.
Right.
It's going to become richer, and it's going to lead to an even more incredible conversation, at least between you and I, maybe not to an audience, but at least to you and I.
Well, that's, it's funny. I do find myself, anytime I listen to a podcast or a song or see a video or anything like that, and I have the desire to share it with someone else, when I watch it with them or listen to it with them, it's a new experience. It's
every time.
And I hear something new. My grandmother, and I think this is a very common thing, but my grandmother used to always say, you read a good book 3 times. You know, you read it the first time just to get through it, the second time to understand it, and the third time to enjoy it.
I love that.
Right. And it's true. Like a good story or a good lesson or a good conversation, it only builds the more you go back to it. You know, the more you give it time to marinate.
Right. I'm going to have to do it 4 times if I listen to this conversation, because the first time is going to be me going, oh my God, I can't believe I said something so stupid, or God, you word retrieval issues. You know,
who do you think that is in you saying that?
We'll save that one for next time. Oh my God. I can explain what I think. I think I got an answer.
Yeah. I think that would be a great topic for us.
For sure.
I think, I've got ideas too. Most of my questions for you are like, okay, I just asked myself this question. Now I'm going to ask you.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And if I talk too much, here comes the doubt. I hope you will. Maybe we could develop a signal or something, because I know what it feels like to be in a conversation where you feel it coming up, but it's not your turn and you don't want to lose it.
Mm.
So,
you
know, make sure you say, you know, put your hand up or something. Say, I need to put something in there.
I can honestly say that in all the times that we've sat down just to talk, there are certainly times where there's something like I thought I wanted to say, or something that I think is important. There's been 0 times where I've sat there thinking that you're talking too much. I've never thought that at all. But just to make you feel better, there have been plenty of times when I'm sitting there thinking like, I'm talking too much. I'm rambling. I'm giving too many details. So
we're both having the same kind of...
Don't forget that we are very similar.
We are. Yeah.
Sister from another vista.
That's right.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, not to, you know, like get super corny with it, but like, loving you has really helped me love myself more.
Same here.
Because you and I have so many similar things that other people sometimes don't like, you know.
Well, that's, they're scary.
Yeah. I actually was bragging about you to my D&D group the other day.
D&D? You're playing D&D?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know you were playing D&D.
You didn't? Yeah, yeah.
Dude, oh my God, I'm so happy. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yes.
Okay, neat. Okay.
It's wonderful. Great. I was bragging to them about our relationship, about our friendship, and I was saying that it's such a breath of fresh air to be able to be with somebody who can just like say the hard things and to be blunt. And say, like, I was telling them, like, the last time that we hung out, we were, you know, we been, I think we were here out in the open air space, and we talked for like 2 hours straight or something. And it wasn't like conversation was dying down. We were like equal, like still had the same energy and everything like that, going. And then there was a moment's pause and you just said like, ah, can I be done? Can I go home?
And then you know what's so cool about that? When I said it,
yeah,
the feeling had just come up. It was not something I had been feeling for 30 minutes.
No, yeah.
It was just like, boom, okay, my body's done.
Yeah.
And it was so great to be able to say that to you. Like,
yes.
I can't do that with anyone.
Well, and that's the thing. I wish everyone would just do that with me. You know, I wish... Yeah. I think, I know that I can trust you.
Yeah.
Like when you say it, there's no part of me that's like, what did I do wrong? Did I talk too much? Did I do this or do that? It's nothing like that. It's it's just you said it. And I was like, yep. Okay. Let's do it.
I'm just so glad. I think with people that we can be vulnerable with, and it takes vulnerability for me to say that because, you know, as an autistic person, I come to a point where my brain does just stop.
Sure.
And it's scary to like say that. 'Cause I'm like, you know,
there's so many expectations that people have that are unreasonable.
I'm just so glad to know you and that you're willing to learn more about me and vice versa. And that we can be more authentic with each other.
Yeah.
And you know what? If we can't do that with anyone else, I'm fine with that because I've got Colin. You know, I can be me with Colin. And yeah.
I feel the same way.
You know, that authenticity and vulnerability piece is really new for me. And you're my first classroom for that.
You know,
which is a whole great conversation in and of itself. But
yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Scary shit for me to like really be who I am.
It's scary for me too. Yeah. And I've been, you know, I end up trying it with lots of people and I have to hand it to most people, you know, who aren't used to it and maybe aren't even built that way. I think people give me a lot of slack, you know, for my oddities. And I think, you know, hopefully they see my good intentions and, you know, that I love them. And that's one of the hardest things I think for people to take is that like, I mean it when I say I love you.
Yes.
And it doesn't just because I say it to maybe not everybody. I don't say it to everyone. I don't feel it for everyone. I feel it for more people, I think, than I see other people saying it.
You have a big love. I mean,
I
you are able to really see the good in everybody. Everybody.
Well, it's that kind of, that's kind of like what that's what I feel like our job is, or is kind of what we owe to each other a little bit is I think it's too easy to find the bad. You know, it's too, it's lazy.
And it's boring.
And it's boring. Right. I mean,
it's so boring.
It's not even, it's like a comfortable place that isn't comfortable, you know, it's like, it's easy to sit and binge TV for a day straight, you know, and just lay in bed and eat and drink. And
that sounds wonderful.
It is wonderful. But then it's like one of those things where it's like when you come out of it and you're like, you know, like, what did I do?
The hangover.
And that's, I feel like that's kind of, that's even better. But like this place that you go when it's like judgment and, you know, picking at people's things or like looking for ways to be upset at a person or to find them offensive or whatever. It's like this nasty, it's like humidity to me.
Yeah.
It's like, it's this, like, I get it. It's really easy to do. And it's really easy to be good at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't give back what I want. I feel bad.
It gives you the same result every time. That's why it's boring.
Yeah.
The same icky feeling, the same, okay, so we've established that people are not perfect. How many times do we have to establish that?
Sure.
I'm not saying that being around people that have issues isn't something we... The opposite problem is that I used to have is seeing too much good in people and sure. not letting in the data that was there,
right.
The toxic data, that this person may not be good for me. But what I want to learn now is how to allow people to be, like Tanya says, fallible. What's going on? Okay, edit this part out.
No, you're right. Like, let people to be fallible.
Right. Like, but how do you? I'm just like, I'm on a maturity level, relationship wise, I'm probably about age 12. I like learning about, probably like my middle school kids. I'm at that level of learning how to be this highly sensitive person who sees the good in everybody, just like you. But also the adult part of me needs to develop and see, okay, well, that part of them, I'm gonna create boundaries for.
Yeah.
But the whole package of that person, it's not good or bad, it's just human.
Right.
That's the part I'm trying to learn.
Well,
you know, that they're just a person doing right. the best they can in a very difficult world.
I agree.
And so that, yeah. But focusing on the negative, that's just a cop out. That's just people that want to keep a world that is, you know, it's very, like you said, it's very comforting to criticize everybody because you know exactly what the arena is, and you can maintain a boundary, a wall around yourself and not have to really risk or, you know, and it's just, it's safe.
Yeah. Well, and I think that there's something to be said about like what you're just saying, like people are just kind of made the way they're made,
yeah.
you know, like we've got ingredients that make us up mm-hmm. and like, that's the food we are is this mm-hmm. thing. And it's just like, there's foods that you can eat a lot of and be healthy. Mm-hmm. And then there's foods that it's like, I'm only going to eat that once in a while, you know? And
right.
like, and I think that's kind of where I'm trying to go with this is like, you know, it's okay for me to notice like this person, here are the good things about this person. And then there's all these other things that hurt me.
Yes.
And so like, there's a spot for them in my life somewhere. And like, there are some, you know, like, you know, a bottle of bleach does not have a place in my diet, you know?
No,
so like, I'm going to like
serial killers. Like, we are not going to hang around.
Don't need them.
All right.
Right. Gotcha. I'm okay cutting them out. Right. No problem. But like, you know, like a Reuben, you know, I can't eat a Reuben every day,
yeah.
but like there's a time and a place for a Reuben, yeah, you know?
Absolutely.
And like, I'm going to order
right, in bed with Netflix all day long.
Binging.
Yes.
Yes. You know,
that's where it belongs.
And that's the thing, you know, like everybody deserves a spot. I think, you know, somewhere, as long as they're not a serial killer.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's really,
yeah.
that's a wide
sure.
range. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to learn. You know, just, man,
you just reminded me of another thing that I love, similar to like when we can end a conversation just by saying like, can we be
all right,
done?
We're done.
Right. you also you've offered before, like if I ever needed a place to live,
yes,
that
I have a place for you to live,
that you could, and that's like incredibly kind in general. And it's like a safety thing for me if that was ever a thing, mm-hmm. you know, like who knows what would happen
would
in my life.
You would not live in a box on the street.
Probably not. But I love like when you're talking about it and you wanted to make sure that I knew that you were being serious.
Mm-hmm.
And that it wasn't like an empty promise, but you also said like, listen, I want you to know if you're living there, you're not going to see me.
No.
Like we're only going to, I don't want to hang out more than once every other week or so,
exactly.
you know? And again, that was like such a, I think there are definitely people out there who would be offended by that.
Sure.
Who would be like, you don't want to see me more than once every 2 weeks.
Nope.
Like what's the matter? And that's the thing. It's like, it's such a, all we're talking about is boundaries, really.
That's
all,
true.
I just really
boundaries
love.
Boundaries can be fun.
Right. And also just like a relief, mm-hmm. because I think that like so many of us do this detective work, this like.
It's ridiculous.
Trying to figure out like, what's your boundary? I'm going to pay attention to the tone of your voice and like where, how your body language is moving. And
I can't do it anymore.
I don't want to do it either.
I can't.
I wish like we could have a sign that said like, you've got 5 minutes or.
We can do that.
I don't want to, you know.
That would be fun.
Well, we don't need it. We could just say
That's
it.
That's true.
But I feel like, you know, just like people want to have like their, you know, social media profiles. Like, I feel like we need like boundary profiles. Like,
ooh, that
you know,
is
like,
a good idea, Colin.
Yeah, you
boundary
know.
Boundary profiles.
Just like, I love that like the iPhones and I think other phones too, I don't know, but they have this like do not disturb function where you yeah. can set your phone to do not disturb for certain times of day every day. And it like if you try to text a person, it'll say like this person is on do not disturb. And it's basically just their way of saying like, I am not responsible for answering this text. Like
yes.
I'm not doing it.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many people get frustrated at me because I take more than a day to respond to a text, you know?
Fuck them all. They are not going to live with us in Micanopy. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that idea of a boundary profile. Now, sure. That would be a healthy society to live in.
Yeah.
Boy.
And like, who's gonna argue with somebody's boundaries like that? Like, I feel like all you have, if somebody just has their boundaries up and says like, this is what I'm willing to do, your only choice from there on is like, do I engage with this person or do I not?
Absolutely.
Right? You don't go up to somebody and say like, change your boundaries for me.
Yeah.
I want you to do something different than what makes you happy.
I have had that expressed to me many times in my life though.
Right.
It's so gross.
And that's a great way to get so put on the bleach shelf.
Oh, that's the bleach shelf.
No, thank you.
Absolutely.
You can
Unless
go.
It's like a family member. And
right.
You have to get creative, but still.
That's right.
Yeah. Then, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
That would be an autistic person's version of heaven.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny too. Like all the things that autistic people, or I shouldn't say all, but as far as I can think of right now, most of the requests that I get from the people we know who are autistic, mm-hmm. those are things that pretty much would benefit everybody.
Absolutely.
Like, could you be clear with what you mean? Could you say what your boundaries are?
There's that post-nasal drip hack.
You know,
yes,
I mean,
you're making me laugh. Now stop. That's really, it's so true. It would benefit everyone.
And that's the thing. It's like,
if we all lived in an autistic centric world.
Well, you're right though. It's funny because like there's, you know, with any label, there are, you know, positive and negative connections.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like, it's easy to associate this like this idea of being particular or having a lot of demands or anything like that with the world of autism.
Mm-hmm.
But really, like I just said, it's just like very reasonable things. And all we're talking about people who just experience existence more intensely than other
Absolutely.
People.
Mm-hmm.
So like we're talking about the people who like are more observant, more sensitive, mm-hmm. like all this stuff. It would make sense to learn from that.
Yeah.
You know, just like you're not going to ask somebody with like, you know, Coke bottle glasses to, you know, like to be your watchman, you know, or something like that.
Right.
Like you want the person with like 20/10 vision,
exactly.
You know, like to who can see the farthest or whatever.
Yeah.
No offense to Coke bottle glasses people.
Which absolutely. Yeah. The autistic people do have a lot to offer, and some businesses are actually recognizing that, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, we live in a very, very loud world of way too much data coming at you from all sides. Now we have the screens, you
right.
know. I mean, it's so beyond, in my opinion, human capacity to process.
Right.
let alone being autistic and having that overload burden. And if autistic people could design the world, it would be a much calmer, mindful, I mean, maybe I'm romanticizing this culture group, but I really do believe everybody would be healthier and happier and not constantly expected to work beyond their capacity.
Yeah.
Which is what our country is doing to every worker.
Yeah.
Here. And I mean, all over the world that's happening.
Sure.
Just this greed is just squeezing every little drop out of every worker they possibly can without killing them. And some jobs do kill people.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, you're right. Autistic people would do a much better job organizing the planet for being really, for being human, for what we were really designed to be.
Yeah. I think I think we did a great job.
I think we're amazing.
Me too.
I think we're like awesome, Colin. I think so. Yeah, this was fun as hell.
And it got like, right. It just, we didn't have to overthink the microphones or anything.
No.
It was like done.
Dude.
See?
And I have to say, because this is what I'm driving home feeling, thinking. I knew it was going to be fun to do, but I didn't know it would be this awesome.
Good.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, of course.
Whenever you have time.
I have to say, this whole podcast concept, this find a way, is like, it would not exist without you. This is, you help me find a way to this stuff. I'm trying to not like, you know, there are this find a way phrase. I'm not trying to use it in a corny way where I'm like throwing it in here left and right or
it
whatever.
It doesn't sound corny to me at all.
Right. It really, that's why I think it stuck. I didn't think too hard about this name or anything like that. It works because
I love it.
This is what you and I do together. Mm-hmm. Is we're trying to do is find a way to love ourselves, mm-hmm, and to enjoy life, mm-hmm, and to deal with the bleach shelf, mm-hmm, and like
first give ourselves permission to have the bleach shelf.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
That's
right.
That's like new shit right now.
Hell
for
yeah.
Me.
I
didn't know I had the right to protect my boundaries.
Yes. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, mm-hmm, it's self-value. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I'm worth it. Mm-hmm. I'm worth,
exactly,
being happy. I'm worth, mm-hmm, sitting with my friend and talking about this,
yeah,
stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that.
This was a joy.
Good.
And you're right. This is what we do naturally. Why not just stick a microphone in our face? What's the difference?
Right.
This is what we do.
All right. I have one last question for you.
Sure.
When we're done,
yeah,
and you drive home,
yeah,
what are you going to do when you get home to like reward yourself for a successful outing?
I'm going to plant a palm tree.
Yes, that's right. You've got a palm tree in your car.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Excellent.
Although, sometimes I can't predict my body's energy level.
Yeah.
So who knows? I think I'm super jazzed and energized and will do the palm tree. But who knows? I might end up just going home and getting under the covers with my dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, watching some kind of YouTube thing. I don't know.
That's great.
But the palm tree is my, like, I'm making a beeline for the palm tree.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of cool too. Mm-hmm. And it's another thing that I think you and I understand really well is that it's great to set your navigation for, mm-hmm, the palm tree.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it doesn't matter if you get to the palm tree.
It doesn't matter.
It's that's what's driving you forward.
Absolutely.
And then when you get home, you're like, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go lay down and watch
covers with my chihuahua.
Videos. Yes. Yeah. Well, say hello to Chica for me.
I will. I love that dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I want to say something to you.
Okay.
And that is, I love you so much.
I love you too.
Yeah.
With all my heart.
Me
I love
too.
You.
You are a gift not only to me, but to the whole world. And any amount of minutes I get to have with you on planet Earth is just amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about you. Seriously. We say, like, you know, brother from another mother and sister from another mister. And it's like a joking way, you know, to like express something. But like, I really do feel that with you. Like, you are very much family to me.
Me too. I feel the same. So. I'm glad we found each other.
Me too.
At one of our local middle schools.
Yeah, who knew?
Just a neat thing.
And we found each other again because we weren't working together. We didn't see each other for years.
Right. And then during the pandemic, you became my son's teacher.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that was a whole, wow. It's been that long, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
2024.
Well, thank you. And
thank you, Colin.
Can't wait to do this again.
Soon.
Okay.
All right.
Mwah. Love you. Thank you for finding your way here today. This is an independent podcast, so anything you can do to help get the word out would be fantastic. Like, subscribe, leave a review, share with your friends, your family, your social media. That would be amazing, and I would be very grateful. In the meantime, until we meet again next week, I hope you find a way to enjoy yourself. This can be a pretty dysfunctional existence that we're trapped in, so I wish you great luck. Making this podcast has really helped me, and for that, I am very grateful. I'll see you next time. And until then, I don't know. I don't really have a good catchphrase for the end there. I'm still working on this. It's pretty new. But we'll get there.